Welcome to Recalculating Small Business. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money.
Dan Perkins here, your co-host, along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating for Small Business. Our radio program is dedicated to you, helping the small business owners increase their profits. We draw our name from Recalculating, voted the best small business book of 2017 by the Independent Press. In this book, it features ways to grow your small business. Now, here's Don Mazzella.
Our next guest, I'm really looking forward to, it's Executive Vice President Mike Stahl of Health Markets. He's here to discuss something that's on everybody's mind, which is healthcare insurance and how we can possibly save on it either as a consumer or as a small business owner. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hi, Don. Glad to be here.
Well, we're here with Dan Perkins. Mike, tell us a little bit about what Health Markets is, a little bit about yourself, your website, and then we'll go a little further into the topic.
Sure, that sounds great. So as you mentioned, I'm the Executive Vice President of Health Markets, and Health Markets is a leading insurance agency with over 3,000 agents nationwide who help individuals, families, seniors, and small business owners find the best health insurance protection at the best price. We have a portfolio of thousands of insurance plans offered from over 200 different insurance companies, many of the big brand names you know. And best of all, anybody that works with us, our service is completely free. And so for anybody that wants to find out more, they can visit us at healthmarkets.com, and we'd be happy to help them out.
Okay. Everybody is so uncertain about the healthcare insurance today and coverage, et cetera. What are some of the things you're here to tell us about that can help, especially small business owners, reduce their costs while improving their coverage?
Yeah, it's a really big deal, Don. I mean, as your question really alludes to, small business owners, and we work with many across the country, are really concerned about healthcare. Many just people are concerned about healthcare. It's a major topic in our society virtually every day. From a small business owner perspective, here's an interesting data point. Of businesses with 50 or less employees, which we'll define as small business owners for the purpose of this conversation, only about 40%, actually a little less, of those businesses offer a group health plan, while the other 60% access the individual market under the Affordable Care Act. And so there's a lot of very different things depending on which of those types of businesses you are. But one of the first points of recommendation that I would have, and there's interesting things that's happened this year that we'll go through, Don, later in the program, but one of the first things you need to do as a small business owner is make sure you're working with an insurance agent that can assess for you both group health plan options and whether the individual market is a better option for you economically or coverage-wise or other benefit or other elements of the benefits, right? So you don't want to work with a broker that just does group health insurance or a broker that just does individual insurance, because there is that split between small business owners using group insurance or the individual insurance market. You want to make sure you're assessing both to make sure you're making the right selection for you and your employees. So that's the number one recommendation I would give.
Well, Dan, I'm going to turn it over to you because you know so much more about this area.
Thank you, Don. I want to ask a question on behalf of our small business listeners. And I want to make sure I heard what you were saying correctly, so I don't want to misquote you, and I want to make sure that our listeners truly understand what this might be a significant opportunity. I want to be as polite as possible, so I don't want to sound like I'm jumping all over you, because it's not my intent. you said some important things about don't do this and don't do that, and which I thought were very important. But let's go back to the basics. I've got a small business in that 50 or less, and I haven't, for a lot of reasons, mostly money, haven't been able to afford to provide a healthcare program for my employees, and they've gone out into the individual market through the Obama exchange to buy their policies, and they're seeing that they make too much money to qualify for a subsidy, so their cost is just astronomical. In dealing with you, am I going to have, and this is only because I don't know, I'm making a comparison just to try and help me and our audience understand. I get, as I'm sure many of our listeners get, a bazillion phone calls from people are saying, have you ever thought about refinancing your house? Well, if you have, but I'm not the person who's going to talk to you about it. I'm simply just arranging an appointment. And let me transfer you to one of our loan officers, and he'll take care of you. And it's a scam, in a sense. I'm not saying you're a scam. I'm curious as to how much of the purchasing process can be conducted on your website.
Yeah. So Dan, there's a couple of things to unpack there, and I think it's a really valid and important question, and I appreciate you asking it. So Health Markets, as I mentioned, is an insurance agency. What you allude to probably are people in the mortgage space or other spaces that are what would be called lead vendors,
right?
People that collect contact information, call you a bazillion times, and annoy the heck out of you, to then only hand you off to someone who actually can do something, right? That's you know, one of your key commentaries, and I can certainly sympathize with that. We're not a lead vendor. We're actually an insurance agency. So think about people are probably very familiar with like their auto insurance agent, right? A local, man or female, right? And a little agency in their town that they can go to and get quotes from a whole host of different auto insurance companies, and that agent will help them figure out what's the best one for them, right? Auto, home, et cetera, right? We do the same thing for health insurance. So we represent over 200 different insurance companies, and that means we are authorized agents of theirs. We can facilitate underwriting and enroll anyone, individuals, seniors, and small businesses, right, and their employees in any of those plans directly. So you may be talking to us on the phone or meeting at one of our offices, but we would not be just annoying you in order to hand you up to somebody else, okay?
So you said something that you had not said before, that you have offices. So you have, in addition to an internet presence, you also have a physical presence in some cities around the country?
Yeah, for us, Dan, we have actually a very big physical presence. So people can learn more about us at healthmarkets.com for sure, right? And there you can get quotes. You can also find a local agent. We have 3,000 Health Markets agents. So they would have a Health Markets business card. They'd have Health Markets over there, their retail storefront if they have one. They are a Health Markets agent, not an independent agent. They're part of our organization. And we also have telesales agents. So if you prefer to just talk to someone over the phone, you can call our 800 number and somebody can help you almost 24/7, in fact. Any way you want to work, online, over the phone, or in person, again, I'll mention we have 3,000 agents all across the country. We're there to help. And plenty of small business owners, really, to speak to them, their situation, their insurance situation is often more complex. And so most often they're working with our local representatives, our local Health Markets agents who are coming out to their business. And they can certainly come to one of our offices too. But most often we're coming out to that business owner's business to understand that business more completely, to do a really thorough assessment and recommendation.
So if I could, to sort of paraphrase, you can participate in health insurance with your organization any way you want to do it, on the phone, on the internet, or with an agent in person.
Correct. And just as an extra little point of Point to note, we're an authorized, what are called web broker, and WBE is a web broker entity. We're authorized partner essentially with healthcare.gov. And so that enables us to facilitate enrollment through healthcare.gov for all of those insurance company partners that we have. That's just another point of.
Okay, so let's move on. I'll ask you this question first, then we'll get back to the individuals. Obviously, if you're involved in health insurance, you've got to be involved with what's going on in Washington on what to do about health care. Do you think that the Congress is going to give us health care reform? And if so, what is it going to look like?
Boy, that is a $64,000 question. I think all of us in the industry, many of us just in the general society, would have predicted after last year's election, coming into January's inauguration, that with a Republican Congress and presidency, that some form of repeal and replace would have happened. It has not, as you guys, and I'm sure your audience is well aware. The House had fits and starts, passed something. The Senate has not passed anything, and certainly neither has passed the same bill, which would then go to the president. It increasingly looks, looks skeptical that they will be able to pass anything substantive, and people may have their own political opinions about whether that's good or bad. But it looks increasingly unlikely, at least at the moment, that they can, and they haven't for this year. So now that doesn't mean there's not been a lot of changes. There actually has been a lot of changes to the Affordable Care Act that largely the president has been able to do through executive order without legislative changes, and it probably is worthwhile for us to talk through some of the more larger impacts to small business owners.
Well, as a person who represents the industry as a company that works in the healthcare area, let me ask you, why do you think the Congress did nothing?
Well, why? I'm probably not the best political analyst, but I'll tell you that health insurance and health care, which are related but a little bit different, right? Sometimes we conflate the two. Are immensely complex. It's immensely complex, and really both political sides can get into this problem where sort of headlines, things that sound great on a stump speech when talking in a soundbite on TV news, may sound great, but the complexity around the details about how to deliver that within the space that is health insurance and health care can be confounding. And so that's really the likely likely reason. And so we'll see. There certainly are also bipartisan efforts that have fits and starts to shore up the health insurance market, but it's still uncertain whether those would pass either.
Don wants to ask you a question. Mike.
Mike, I don't know if you're aware, but the Department of Labor yesterday put a temporary, well, it's much more than that, restraining order against the company, an insurance company called MEWA, which has 17, I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, because instead of paying off members' claims, they siphoned it off to a Bermuda account. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but the question I have is, how does one decide as a consumer or a small business which insurance companies to use, and is there any way of checking?
Yeah, that's a good question, Don. So I'm not familiar with that company nor the story that maybe just came out yesterday. So I apologize for that. I'm not familiar with them because they wouldn't be one of our carriers. If they were, I would know the name. So, you know, first, it's important to, you know, work with a reputable insurance agent. So that's a start, right? And you can, you know, Dan certainly asked me pointed and correct questions that any small business owner or individual or family should ask an insurance agent that they're working with to make sure that they're, you know, real authorized representative and not just, say, a lead vendor or some other person. So you should really validate that. In addition, you know, with that, you can look up Better Business Bureau ratings of your insurance agent. You can look up Better Business Bureau ratings of the insurance carrier. You can ask the agent to provide you with what is called the AM Best rating of the insurance company. That would be essentially a financial stability rating of that insurance company that sort of indicates that they have the financial wherewithal to pay their claims. And lastly, you can also look up any insurance company in your own state's through your own state's Department of Insurance, if you so choose, to see if they have maybe a significant amount of complaints or other issues, regulatory or consumer issues that they might have had. You know, fortunately, that particular example is probably very rare because the insurance industry is one of the more highly regulated industries, which is, in this sense, a good thing in terms of consumer protection.
I agree with that. I had no, in fact, the Department of Labor said it was the first time it had resorted to this. My follow-up question to that has more to do. You indicated there were some bargains out there in terms of healthcare insurance. Did I mishear or misread the note?
No. Yeah, no, not at all. Let's maybe, I've alluded to it a few times. Let's talk about a couple of things that have been changing in the market, particularly this year, that all in their own way, we'll really talk about three if it's okay, Don, all in their own way provide really interesting opportunities for small businesses out there. So let's start with the first one. One is that in last December, a bipartisan group in Congress passed what was called the 21st Century Cures Act. Now, part of that, it did a number of things, but part of that, there a different act was folded into it called the Small Business Healthcare Relief Act. And it was passed bipartisanly through both houses of Congress, and President Obama at the time signed it. The elements of that law went into effect, though, this calendar year. Okay? Now, what the Small Business Healthcare Relief Act, which was melded into that 21st Century Cures Act, what it did was, it allowed businesses with less than 50 employees to provide tax-free money up to $4,950 for individuals and up to $10,000 for employees with dependents. Tax-free money to their employees every year in a health reimbursement account, what's called a QSERA, a Qualified Small Employer Health Reimbursement Account. That money can be used by the employee to purchase their own health plan or allows them to reimburse various medical expenses. And so this is a big deal for the 60% of small businesses who want to provide benefits, a little bit what Dan was talking about in his example, want to provide benefits but maybe can't afford a group health plan. Now they can provide a form of tax-free monies that their employees can use. And then they can use separate from a group plan, again, for buying their own individual plan or for medical expenses. And that's a new valuable opportunity that many small businesses don't know about because it's part of it's melded into a complicated law that just went into effect this year. So that's first. Second, many employers that are offering a group plan, there's a newer option out there, a group plan option called level funded plans that are increasingly popular that you'll want your insurance agent to look into for you. So they essentially offer rebates if you have good claims experience, meaning you have a fairly healthy employee base that doesn't have a high utilization of health care. So that rebate essentially lowers your premium. And so, again, if you have a pretty healthy workforce, this is a, and you offer a group plan or are considering a group plan, this is a really level-funded plans are a good option to consider because that rebate element will lower your premiums often pretty significantly. So that's the second one that I think a lot of your audience should consider. And the third is going back to the 60% of employers that are using the individual market. There's a number of changes that President Trump has made, again, through changes he could do outside of legislation that people need to be aware of. First, the open enrollment period is a lot shorter this year. It's essentially half the time. So in most states, the final deadline to get coverage for all of 2018 is December 15th. Okay? So people need to be aware. It's only a few weeks away. December 15th is the final deadline. Second, the tax penalty, there's a lot of misinformation about this. The tax penalty in the individual market is still in effect. The IRS, a few weeks ago, put out a confirmation that they will enforce the tax penalty. Anybody that doesn't have the proper documentation of their health insurance under the mandate, their tax return will be rejected and they will be assessed the tax penalty. So there's some misinformation. We want to make sure your audience is aware that the IRS will do that. Okay? Second, you know, there was a lot of talk about insurance companies exiting the market, and some have, but there are, in the end, there actually are options in every single county in America. There was debate about whether that would be the case. When push came to shove, there are options in every single county in America. And then lastly, you know, on this, and probably most interesting, and really Dan's question kind of also, you know, speaks to this, so I'll sort of give some background, is premiums are a sort of a tale of two cities. For people who are subsidy eligible, premiums are, in fact, lower than ever because subsidies this year are higher than ever. And there's a lot of detail as to why that is mathematically. We could go into it if you guys like. But the story is premiums for subsidy eligible people are lower than ever because subsidies are higher than ever. In fact, 99% of counties in America, there will be, there is, in fact, right now, there will be, there is, a $0 premium option available, which I'll pause on because that's, you know, a big, big deal. People would be astonished to hear that some people will be able to enroll in a health plan for $0 a month for free, which is a giant, giant deal. Now, on the other hand, this was what Dan alluded to, people that are non-subsidy eligible, that have a more significant income, they are experiencing premium increases that are a really hard hit to their pocketbook. So that's why it's a real tale of two cities. So for small businesses, many of them that we work with sort of have a mix of individuals, often the owner, maybe some of the higher level employees might not be subsidy eligible, and they're feeling the brunt of those high premium increases. Often many of the frontline employees, though, make more modest incomes, and they are subsidy eligible, and they have, you know, they could have options as low as $0 a month. And so this sort of, again, speaks to wanting to work with a really sophisticated agent who can assess, walk, come into your small business and do an assessment for both you, the small business owner, and your employees in totality as to what the best structure and options are for all people involved, whether that's a group plan, with, you know, a level funded plan or other group plan structures, or it's a structure in the individual market that accommodates subsidy eligible, non-subsidy eligible, that potentially uses one of these qualified small employer health reimbursement accounts that offers tax-free money. All of these details are very complex. And again, because businesses have different employees with different income levels, it's important to have somebody that can do a really thorough assessment of everybody involved and all the options available. So those are some examples, Don, of where are some really interesting opportunities out there that most don't know about.
Wow, that's a lot. Dan, you want to go after that one?
Thank you. I want to go back to a fundamental question that I have. I write a lot of current events commentary, and I've raised this question many, many times. And I'm not being facetious when I raise it. I believe it's something that I think needs to be asked. And that is, where does it say in the Constitution that the federal government is supposed to provide health care?
Well, Dan, that's a pretty, certainly a loaded question. It doesn't, right?
Right, it doesn't.
Certainly it doesn't. I think as a society, all of us, with a lot of things, the Constitution is fairly limited in what it speaks to in general. We all decide how we want our society to sort of be organized and how we support each other and also hold each other accountable. And so, everything from with respect to just healthcare, everything from, Medicaid for low-income folks or the CHIP plan for children or Medicare, which is, government structured too for seniors, or the Affordable Care Act and the individual market that's associated with it. These are sort of choices society has made over time. But there's certainly nothing in the Constitution that says we need to do it. That's for sure.
But because society's done it, Mike, doesn't necessarily mean that society was correct. As somebody I'm reacting.
Yeah, correct.
But as somebody who is yourself, somebody who is extensively involved in the healthcare marketplace, the most important question that I can ask you as an expert on healthcare, do you believe that the quality of healthcare that we are receiving as Americans has increased, decreased, or stayed about the same under the Affordable Care Act?
That's a tough question. Certainly many, many more people are insured today than were 4 or 5 years ago. And having insurance, again, I mentioned earlier that sometimes we conflate health insurance with health care. So it
Absolutely.
Isn't the same thing as each other. But it is true that having insurance is a conduit to care, because people are reticent to get care when they don't have insurance and otherwise can't afford it. And so more people are then accessing care than was before. The trade-off is the cost, right? And that's the hard trade-off. It's not just whether more people are getting care than were before. That mathematically is hard to argue with. The trade-off is whether, as a society, the cost is worth it. Here's one thing to think about, Dan, is that it's unfortunate, but when it comes to health insurance, they're actually the individual market before the Affordable Care Act was actually the only market that didn't have subsidization as a part of it. What's unfortunate, what's difficult, is that health care is so expensive that therefore health insurance has to be, and that people can't afford it if there isn't some form of subsidization. So let's talk about all the all the different segments. The low-income population, has Medicaid, even though it was there before the Affordable Care Act. It was expanded, but it was there before, and that was subsidized. The senior population has Medicare, which is subsidized. Also, disabled folks, many of them can get access to Medicare. People who work for an employer, the employer is subsidizing through their contribution, which is in turn also subsidized by the federal government in the form of a tax deductibility, essentially, that goes, that attaches to that. And before the Affordable Care Act, individuals, which we've been around for decades, so we were helping individuals and families and small business owners before the Affordable Care Act, they paid full freight with no subsidization. I'm not saying whether that was good or bad, but it's interesting to note that what's unfortunate is health care is so expensive that for basically every segment of the population, for a long time, there is some form of subsidization. Which gets me to this is that there's always talk about the health insurance component. That's just the financing. That's just how we pay for it. If we want to, in the long run, really attack quality care at an effective price, we have to really focus on the health care side and less about the health insurance side. And both political sides of the aisle struggle to get past the health insurance discussion and into the health care discussion. We have to figure out how to make it less costly to go to the doctor or the hospital. So that drug that we have to work on how to, you know, make drug prices not increase at the clips that they have. When the underlying care continues to, you know, increase in cost year over year, and is so expensive, the insurance just naturally has to be, because insurance is just a financing component of the underlying care. And so that's my, that would be, that's the industry, that's also my own personal belief, that we as a society need to, and both sides politically, need to focus a lot more on care, doctors, hospitals, drugs, and so forth, and a little less on the insurance side, because we're not going to get where we want to be if we don't do that.
Mike, I hate to cut this off. It's been such an illuminating conversation. We were talking with Michael Stahl. He's the Executive Vice President of Health Markets. Mike, your site again, your website, and how people can reach you, your company, or anything else?
Yeah, Don, we'd love to help really anybody out there, again, seniors, small business owners, individuals, or families. And we work nationwide. Our service is completely free. And anybody can learn more about us at healthmarkets.com. But as we talked about earlier, we can work with you online, over the phone, or in person. Whichever way you want to work, we can help you out.
Mike, it's really been illuminating.
Great talking to you guys.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your featured book. I want to tell you about a recent interview I had with Bob Bethel, a turnaround specialist with lots of success in small business. Bob's new book is Strengthen Your Business, Fail-Proof Strategies for Small Business. He tells us of his life successes and failures that have made him and his clients so successful. Over the years, Bob has brought 77 companies back from the brink and changed them into thriving, profitable businesses. His energy is amazing, and at 74, he proves that you can still have a great deal to give others if you just try. His suggestions are easy to understand and very helpful. One insight struck me was that most companies do not have a plan. The old Chinese proverb says, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there, is true today. Bob Bethel's book, Strengthen Your Business, can be found at Amazon.com or can be ordered at your local bookstore. This has been Dan Perkins with your Recalculating.biz featured book.
Dan, we have an exciting new guest now. Neil Glover is CEO of an unusual platform that should revolutionize online shopping. I found it fascinating, and I think our audience will as well. Neil Glover, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Nice to be on.
Neil, tell us about your product, your website, and a little bit about yourself before I turn it over to Dan.
Sure. Well, thank you. I'll start with a little background on myself. I've been in e-commerce for the last 16 years. I competed with Amazon every one of those years, thankfully profitably for the last several of them. I ran a company called Buy.com for over 10 years. We had a great team. We went from losing $100 million a year to having multiple years of consecutive profitability, sold over $5 billion of products online. And, you know, through that period of time, really saw how you really need to utilize your customers and to become your sales force for you. You need them to share through their word of mouth authentically how much they love your product. And that's a great way to save money on advertising, but more authentically get your message out. So with Indy, we created a new video platform really for brands to have a way to connect with their customers and then in turn turn their customers into a virtual sales force for them. And on the individual side, if you love a brand or you love a product, you can talk about that product, you can create a photo or a video, and you can add a product link associated with it. And if any of your friends or any of your connections or anyone you know sees that content and buys that product, you receive a commission. So we're really creating these micro influencers all performance-based, so it makes it very affordable for any company to get involved.
And spell out your site.
It's INDI. The website is INDI.com, or you can go to our apps and download our apps, which are INDI.com in the app stores.
Dan, it's all yours.
Thank you. I, as I said in the pre-show, I went to your website and I took a look at what you offer. And I really want to ask probably an off-the-wall question. But why wouldn't this platform, this technology, this service be applicable to business communications?
Oh, it absolutely is. No, it's, you know, at the most basic level, what we provide you is a completely branded video microsite with no competitive links or ads. So every business could use this. You know, today, really the options for businesses are YouTube or Vimeo. And I feel like they both lack certain things that are needed for businesses. And so what we came in with is a completely branded microsite. It has your look, your feel. It's fully embeddable into your website. It's completely brand safe. There's no advertising, no competitive advertising, no thumbs down, no trolls. And then from there, you have all the abilities to have that two-way engagement with your customer. You can ask them, how do they like your service? How can you make things better? But it's all done through video and photos, where we really believe the world is going to. People don't read as much, unfortunately, and we want to make it as easy for people to communicate with companies and get that real two-way engagement. So you're absolutely right. It's applicable for any brand, any company out there.
Well, I was thinking, I was being selfish and thinking of Don and myself. One is for our recalculating. We get about 600,000 page views, downloads a month. And I was thinking about that. And then we're both authors of multiple books. And I was wondering if authors could use it to promote their books.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, you could have a virtual book forum. You could ask your customers who've read the book to talk about the book, to ask you questions about the book. They could do their own reviews, and you could give away. We also have a whole contest platform that America's Got Talent uses, as an example. But it's applicable all the way to no matter the size of the company. You could ask your readers to give the best review of the book. And the one that gets the best review, but is also then sharing it throughout social media, driving more awareness for your book, you know, can win something. They can also add that product link. So if they're telling their friends about your book, if somebody buys it from Barnes & Noble or Amazon or directly from your site, that they then get a commission for that. So it's absolutely applicable for everything you're doing. And really any company, small or big.
So how expensive is it to use your service?
Great question. We've made it extremely affordable. You can come on, as long as you're okay having advertising, it's actually free to use the platform. Most brands have chosen not to have advertising because they have that option. And it only costs $500 to have 50 hours of content uploaded. So it's $500 for a full year's worth of content. And then there's some optional things you can get on top of that. But it's a very low cost, a really free offering.
It just, I was just so taken at you know, one of the most difficult things in starting up a small business. And I was with a friend yesterday at lunch who's struggled and built a nice business in a short period of time, less than 9 months. His biggest challenge is salespeople. And yeah. And it's not just his challenge. It's we did a show earlier this week where we're talking with a human resources expert, and they were talking about the shortage of qualified people. I have to tell you, I'm amazed at this. And if there's a way that it could become a sales force for small business through the internet, could be a powerful, powerful tool. So off air, I would like to talk to you more about that, because I think there's something I understand the rationale for retail, but I think that there are other opportunities that I would like to explore offline. Let me move on and ask, if I look at your video based marketing organization as it relates to the customer product, what do you use for your video platform, or do I have to give you mine?
No, it's all of our, we have our own platform. So you utilize our platform, which is one of the great things about it as well, is you're getting users to upload content to you, which you now have the ability to reuse as well. They give you permissions to do that. So you're interacting and engaging with your users. But it's a full turnkey solution that has not only the player, but it also has a lot of data around what happens to those photos and videos. We want them to get shared extensively throughout social media to help drive your brand. We've had over 100 million shares in the social media, shares and interactions in social media already. And so, you know, no matter the size, you really want that word of mouth advertising, you know, to get your brand out there. And that's really what our platform helps drive.
Yeah. One of the other things that I was thinking about, Don and I, in addition to being authors and having this show, we're also, both of us have foundations. And I'm thinking about the nature of the way foundations are spending huge amount of money, I would think, for advertising, because the television stations are not giving them the money for, or the airtime for free. They may do some PSA. But I mean, just thinking about how having a donor tell people why he or she decided to give money to this foundation might be a very, very powerful tool. I mean, you could change the face of fundraising also. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Great point. Very astute. We actually just completed one of our contest-based engagements with Starbucks, where the Starbucks Foundation was awarding $25,000 grants, and then a few other ones in some different areas. And we had hundreds and hundreds of charities coming on to talk about how great their charity was and what they were doing. And Starbucks really wanted to do this to see the good in humanity and showcase all the great charities and foundations out there. And the great aspect of the platform, again, it got the users to create content talking about their charity that they love and support. And then they shared that about that. So it drove more awareness on every one of the hundreds of charities that uploaded. And it drove a lot of viral interactions and connections and engagement and, you know, drove a significant amount more awareness around all these different foundations. So to that point, you absolutely can. We have not done direct donations yet. We are rolling something out that will help. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we want to be that technology platform to really help brands of any size. And, I mean, that can really be an individual that's a brand, or it can be a large entity like Starbucks or Domino's or the Denver Broncos, all different companies that work with us that can engage and talk to their customers at a more authentic level.
One of the things I was fascinated about was your observation about retail sales. Don and I have done numerous interviews with people who have talked about, and I've written commentaries on how the retail space has changed. You walk into a big box store and you may or may not find anybody to give you service, yet customer service seems to be the hallmark of what's happening on the internet. But now, with what you're doing, you're creating a visual connection as opposed to just an audio or text relationship, which I would think would be scaring the retailers to death.
Well, we actually want to work with all the retailers. So, yes, I totally agree with you. Retailers, you know, do need to innovate, and they need to think outside the box, literally and physically. You know, we actually do have a couple of very large multi-billion-dollar brick and mortar retailers that are launching on the platform that are, in addition to having their customers creating content, are asking their employees. And so they have personal shoppers, you know, in store personal stylists, and they want to have them create content to actually help consumers online as well purchase. So we are seeing that. But again, to your point, retailers of all size, small or big, can now really utilize their employees, but more importantly, even their customers, to really help drive that innovation. And we do think that having a video or a photo, so some type of visual, just makes it that much more authentic and organic, which in today's world, I think is so important for people to know. If I just, wrote a blog or talked about something and said, I think this is a great product, that's one thing. And it can be very beneficial because the review could be very helpful. But if I actually have the product and I'm showing you how to use it, how it looks when I opened it, how it actually interacts with other things, or just me happy holding it in a picture, whether it's a dress or a shirt or whatever it may be, I think that brings that new level of engagement and authenticity that will really help your friends and followers understand how great that product is. And that's really where our tagline comes from, which is everyone is an influencer. We truly believe everyone can help drive and influence sales.
Do you think it's possible that the big box stores, the brick and mortar, are doing this more as a defensive posture to try and retain their customers as opposed to an offensive structure?
You know, that's a great question. I think they are all realizing, some more slowly than others, that the world has changed dramatically. And this is a conversation that I've actually had with retailers for many years. As I mentioned, I've competed with Amazon for north of 15 years. They are the most formidable company out there. They do a tremendous job for the customer, and they really push everybody to think outside their limits. And I think some of the retailers are realizing that they need to change dramatically, and I think some are still a little bit more on the defensive side. So that's a great observation on your part. But, sooner or later they'll get there. It's just hopefully it's closer to the sooner than the later.
Yeah, if your business model has been the same for 100 years, it's like the buggy whip people. They fought the automobile, but they didn't realize that their end was in sight and they needed to change. And that's why I was asking. I wonder if a lot of the retailers are doing this for defensive natures, and which then raises the question, are they in this begrudgingly or enthusiastically?
Yeah. So far, I'd say the ones that are doing it are really on the offensive and are doing it enthusiastically. It's been more of a, I really want to do it, or a wait and see. It hasn't been as much of a, well, I'm going to do it because I feel like I have to do it, but I don't really want to do it. Those that are involved, and we have a whole host of great brands rolling out here over the next few weeks in an ongoing pipeline. I think some are more innovative and want to lead the pack, and others are more in the wait and see world. I don't see too many going, well, we're going to do it and be defensive. I think those folks are more in the wait and see. We're very confident, and the retailers that are working with us are very confident that this is the avenue they need to go into. And so they're running fast to really be the leaders in the space. I mean, what we're doing is very different. You know, we do want to light up your customers and your employees to become that virtual sales force.
Dan, let me jump in here on a question that came across the computer. We're talking with Neil Glover, who's CEO of Indie, a platform that may revolutionize online shopping. But the question, Neil, that I just got was, how does your system really work? I'm someone that decides I want to create a channel, say, for Dan's new book on Alzheimer for teenagers. I go to your site and purchase a channel, and then how do I upload? I mean, do I make my own videos? Can you just go through the process a little bit more detailed?
Sure.
That's the question.
Sure. Yeah, no, you go to the site, you can create your own channel. We're very happy to help you get started as well. Once you create that channel, you put your banner image, your logo, make it look just like your website, however you want to design it. Then you upload your own content to start, just like you would, say, your YouTube channel, and upload that content. And then from there, it can really be however you want to go. You can keep it where it's only your content that you upload, and you want to have it where it's more of a one-way conversation. We think there's so much more that you should do than that. And that's really where you create these forums. We have a forum or a challenge, and you ask your users to upload content to you on the platform. And so they either upload to one of the forums where you're asking them a question, asking for their feedback, or you create a challenge like, give me the best review of my Alzheimer's book in 1 minute or less. And users upload that content, and then they're incentivized to then share that content throughout social media, because one of the ways they can win, and again, it's up to you how you want to set it, but the way we've set the back-end system is you can pick the one you like the most, which is called the judge's pick, or you can let really the social clout really drive the winners, which what that does is it really incentivizes your users to share that content. And as they share it throughout social media, we track all of that to give them a higher score. So it's both your content that you want to create, but more importantly, it's getting your users to create content and then sharing that throughout their networks.
But how do you edit what's going on there? How do you prevent the Russians from putting something on your channel that
great question. Because myself and our founding team, we've all been retailers for the last 15 plus years, as I mentioned. We built a lot of brand safety controls in every aspect of it. So once again, once you ask your users to upload content, you can have a waiting queue, basically. So every piece of content is pre-approved before it goes live. You can also turn that off, but of all the content we've had uploaded so far, somebody at any of the brands' sites, or they've asked us to do it, has reviewed that content to make sure it's proper for their channel.
Well, let me ask you this question. As a retailer, could I set up a booth in my store where after a person buys a product, you could invite them to make a comment right then and there in the store and automatically upload it?
You should be working for retail. Absolutely. Yes, that would be more innovative than some, but that would be exactly what, yeah, and that's a great example. I mean, and that's in essence what we're working with folks on doing digitally. So once that product arrives at their house, they get a notification from the retailer in their post-purchase email asking them to upload a review, showcase that product, and if they're inclined to join the brand ambassador program, to you know, promote it with the opportunity to create a sale and get paid a commission for that. But that's absolutely correct.
Well, Dan, let me ask one more question. Let's say you and I, you're on this program, and we had created a channel on your platform where we went into this for Skype, so the three of us would be on. Would that be something we would take 1 or 2 minutes from and then upload as well as an example? And what's the limit in terms of time?
Yeah, it's really up to the channel owner again. So we give you a lot of flexibility. You can, it's really around what the audience is going to want to watch thereafter. Most people, really like bite-sized pieces of content. So unless you're running a film review or something to that effect, you probably want it to be 30 seconds to 2 minutes in length. Over that, it gets a little bit tough on people's attention span.
Back to you, Dan.
Thank you. I was listening to your conversation with Don. It crossed my mind. Let's just say, for example, let's take a retailer, a big box store, who has relationships with hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of customers. Many of them, or if not, they should be making contact with them through email. Why couldn't that retail store, that big box chain, take their email list and turn it into a marketing to drive people to their new video platform?
And that's absolutely part of the onboarding process for the big box retailers. I wouldn't say that everyone wants to turn every one of their customers on, although that's very much an option. So far, again, because we are very new, I'd say it's been in a let's take our top 20% of our customers, or let's take our really avid customers. But again, you don't. The great thing about this is every single person can be an influencer, and just similar to how Uber is using people's cars to drive others around, you know, you're not sure who wants to be that influencer and create content for you. But the most important thing is they have that relationship with you and at the brand. And if they've purchased from you and they like your brand or they like the products that you sell, you should absolutely give them that opportunity to help drive sales for you. As I mentioned, everybody needs additional sales. And you know, in the world today with competing with Amazon and others, it's so important. But they absolutely could invite every one of their customers to create content. Again, you're only paying if that content turns into a completed sale. And you're getting great advertising. You're also engaging your customers to really feel like they're a part of the organization.
Well, I was just thinking in terms of coming into the Christmas season, which was the holiday shopping season, which was part of your promotional piece. But I was thinking if I wanted to take my top 20, although I don't agree with that,
I
do understand that probably 80% of the sales come from 20% of the customers. But I also believe that in experience, that 20% can rotate and people in the 80% can move up to the 20%. But my point is, if I had, I'll just use an example. If I were Waterford Crystal and I had a Christmas ornament, which they do have, and I had an email list, I would take that email list and I would promote Waterford Crystal Christmas ornaments. But at the bottom, I would say, send this to your email list, and should anybody buy, you'll get an additional 10% or whatever the number is, so that
Correct.
You're trying to harvest their email list.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely, and that's we do have a couple retailers that are doing that as we speak. We'll be rolling out in the next few days doing that very thing, and you're very astute in that as well. But yes, it's exactly, again, to the point that everyone is an influencer, and you should give them all an opportunity to showcase how much they love your brand.
So I don't know how much time we have left, Donna, because I got another area.
Well, this is the last question, Dan.
Okay, this is going to be the last question. What about the implications in the 2018 midterm elections?
Well, it's a great way to get the word out. And I think it's a very powerful tool for politics. If you're engaging with your constituents and your constituents are passionate about you, you really want them to be promoting you. And it's an exactly perfect platform for that to happen. Where again, it's very authentic and organic, and it's not based on, you know, advertisements out there that you're not sure who's creating the content or not, but it's based on, you know, potentially somebody you know or trust, and it will really help drive that viral effect of that message. And so we think it could be a pretty powerful platform for it.
I agree.
You know, we're talking with Neil Glover, CEO of Indi.com. That's INDI.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your featured book. I want to tell you about a recent interview I had with Bob Bethel, a turnaround specialist with lots of success in small business. Bob's new book is Strengthen Your Business, Fail-Proof Strategies for Small Business. He tells us of his life successes and failures that have made him and his clients so successful. His suggestions are easy to understand and very helpful. One insight struck me was that most companies do not have a plan. The old Chinese proverb says, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there, is true today. Bob Bethel's book, Strengthen Your Business, can be found at Amazon.com or can be ordered at your local bookstore.
Thank you for being with us today from Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success. Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful.